Thank you. Well, thank you all for coming. I first and foremost want to thank VisArts for the opportunity. Each and every person that works in this institution is really kind and made the experience incredibly supportive. And so when I came to visit the gallery after, you know, a couple of months of thinking about what to do with the work, I walked in and Frank was in the gallery, and I said, can we use the top part? I mean, is this possible? There was very different work here. And he said, yeah, I don't see why not. So they were kind enough that I can use some of their resources as far as cutting the vinyl. And so it allowed for this kind of work to happen because of this institution. So I think activating a space is kind of part of my practice. I often think about the purpose that the material plays and how I place things in, you know, relationship to each other. I will welcome your questions. I'll say a couple of things about the general idea. As you see, I have a combination of things, but all of them are some kind of construction that has some grit to it. I either make it through actual weaving. I'm originally from Mexico, and weaving is a very important part of our culture. And I started weaving audio tape when I graduated from school, first because it was so plentiful, and then it has been part of my practice almost for 20 years. So most of the things you see have something that is woven. I think also that part of pulling tape on a consistent basis makes me very aware of the circular nature of what I'm doing, that this seems to be like the never-ending thing. When I was trying to think about how to think of the systems that we locate ourselves now into, I think about abundance and saturation. So I tend to think about what can I do with a material so I can saturate it, usually using a woven structure. And then with that, the material itself will communicate something. So the cage in the corner, for example, has text that you can only read when you're inside of it. And it deals with systems of immigration restrictions, I guess. And they're not new. All those words were actually used before in other contexts because they tend to repeat themselves. When somebody wants to exclude someone, be a whatever person that is, they tend to use the same rhetoric. It repeats itself. So it seemed to be kind of related to what I wanted to talk about, systems. One of the things that I love about as a little gimmick or think of us to think about how the mind works are those exercise wheels that you see there in the corner. You're very comfortable with your hamster maybe doing that exercise, but very seldom do we think that our minds do the same exercise. And now in our current situation where we have media saturation, where everything is circling constantly, you know, the feed is constantly happening, I think of our life a little bit as we are our hamster mental wheels. So I thought that was kind of important to put in the context of the circularity here. I'm also from Mexico, so the culture of abundance, as much as there are many things I really love about the United States, containers are one of those things that fascinate me. And I found this material that had chalk labels. And I didn't know what chalk labels were. And so I searched it. I'm like, what is this? So most of the words you see there are things that obviously we cannot contain inside a container. And for me, they had to do with things. We're all fearful or something. And a lot of our circular thoughts have to do with fear, love, anger, anguish, and anxiety in some kind of way. I also think that Suzanne made a comment about the different kinds of people in their audience, and I have two kids. So for me, this piece is about their circuit, what really kind of brackets their life, which is the bus that picks them up in the morning and drops them in the afternoon. But it's also about caution and about safety. And so much of their lives now and the conversations as a parent have to do with this ideas of caution and safety. And so the material itself is actually the tape that you use in emergency vehicles and in a bus. And I just, you know, took it and weaved it with three panels with the same structure that you will see in most back lights of a school bus. interrupted tape. Again, I think this comes back to my practice. If somebody, you know, I just think my life as an artist and having so many different jobs is constantly interrupted. So that's basically a loose idea of what those pieces are. And then the last thing is the text piece, which I hope that you all contribute to. So the wall here, for me, it's a wall. I know, you know, it's a window. But I would, you know, really appreciate if you help me make a piece of art, participating and, you know, sharing with me your circular thoughts. We all have them. It's all a matter of recognizing them. Circularity is also part of what we think about power and hope, which is what this piece at the in the corner is. They're a list of words that deal with power and hope. And I made that piece after the election. And regardless of who did you vote it with, I think that the inertia of why we took the decisions we took is because either we hope to achieve something or we were influenced by the power of something else. And those two words seem something that were very associated, and they were made for a show that dealt with power. And what you see up top here is the piece that I'm talking about that is circular. So I'm asking you to either draw, share with me, tell me, speak about what is that you think consistently in your brain, in your mind. And so if you feel comfortable, please, there are circles in this little table, and, you know, place them in the glass window. So. And does anybody have a question? Oh, also, Eduardo's asking me, my husband is asking not to forget this. So I don't know, this piece, as I mentioned, I'm originally from Mexico. We take our vacation every year. We're trying to think if we're going to bow back there. But sadly, this is the Caribbean. The Caribbean Sea now from March all the way to September has sargasso. Sargasso is a type of algae that pretty much comes all the way from Brazil and goes into the Yucatan Peninsula. And instead of having this beautiful ocean that we all know as the Caribbean blue, which normally if you'll take a picture of this, which I hope I can take one day again, you will see blue and blue. It will be hard to distinguish the ocean from the sky. And not in my past 5 years. In the past 5 years, every year we go on August, this is what we encounter. We are bathing in the ocean with algae, which is fun to a certain extent, but eventually you have to get out because it's, you know, it's just scratchy and it's uncomfortable. So the pieces are made by 4x6, and they created a panoramic, which is, you know, again, my interest in grid and dividing things and putting the aggregate to create a piece of work. The base is neoprene, which I thought it was really important as a material because that's how it feels that we're covering the ocean. It feels like a cover that is very plasticky and not, even though this is supposed to be natural, but, you know, they are 3 meters tall of mountains to pick up. And even if they're picking it up, it's like a never-ending cycle. So it felt appropriate for the premise of the show. So. I don't know, does anybody, yes?
I'm curious about this algae. So you said it's been recurring only in the last 5 years?
Yes.
Do you know what caused it?
So there's many different theories. There is a notion that maybe the temperature has changed enough for the Amazon River to be affected by this, and it produces an excess of this kind of algae. And then the current takes it specifically to this area. Because it happens a little bit in Florida. It's red. But it's not the same kind of algae. So we lived there, you know, prior to this, 8 years. And every day we could get in the ocean without any problem, without seeing this year round. So this is a new thing. So part of it is that. Part of it is that, you know, we have changed something in the ecosystem of that part of the ocean that this used to be eaten or used in other ways and did not grow to the extent that it grows. But it is a little of an unknown. People don't know what to do. They want to have boats outside to be able to, you know, pick it up before it gets to the beach because people don't want to go and vacation to this, and this is important for the Mexican tourism economy. So, you know, it's a global thing. When we think about this only affects us, well, it really doesn't. You know, everything is kind of connected. So, it's my first panoramic photograph, so I kind of liked it. It's an interesting process. So thank you for your question.